It's This Week in Bourbon, where we are knocking bourbon news out of the park. And here's your headlines for August 19th, 2022. The Kentucky Bourbon Hall of Fame will induct six new individuals. King of Kentucky packs two brand new 15 and 18-year-old releases. And Old Forester birthday bourbon allocation goes into a national sweepstakes. But before we get started, here's a quick word from our partners. Always find what you love at Total Wine & More. With so many great bottles to choose from at the lowest price, it's easy to find your favorite Cabernet or a new single barrel bourbon to try with some help from one of their friendly guides. And with every bottle comes the confidence of knowing you just found something amazing. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, find what you love and love what you find only at Total Wine & More. Curbside pickup and delivery available in most areas. Visit TotalWine.com to learn more. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly and be 21. From their bar to yours, Chad and Sarah of the popular YouTube channel It's Bourbon Night bring you their favorite at-home old-fashioned mix with the new Elemental Elixirs Golden Hour Syrup. It's a custom-made syrup with notes of bold black tea, warm spices, and orange zest. All you need is your favorite whiskey and ice. No bitters needed. One bottle makes 16 drinks, so that's only $1 cocktail before you add your own whiskey. They can also be enjoyed in other cocktails or spirits, mocktails, coffee, tea, and anything you can think of. It's crafted locally in Lexington, Kentucky, and you can get your bottle now at whiskeyambitions.com.
Give 270's 2020 Unicorn Bourbon Raffle is back. Your $20 ticket gives you chances at our exclusive assortment of 20 Michter's products, 20-year, 10-year, toasted barrel finish, and more. And all names go back into the pot for a chance at our grand prize, a Michter's 25-year. Tickets are available until 7 p.m. April 3rd, with a drawing at 8 p.m. on our Facebook and YouTube channel. Visit give270.org to grab your tickets. Charitable gaming license, ORG 000-2703.
It's that time of the year where everybody's starting to make their vacation plans on visiting Kentucky, the mecca of bourbon. And if you are coming to Kentucky, you need to make sure you visit us at Pursuit Spirits in Louisville. We're right in the heart of Clifton, near Butchertown and Nulu, and only just a few miles away from downtown Louisville. But when you do come, you need to book your experience to go do our whole shebang. This is the one that's really the star of the show. You get a full-on tasting. You get to do your own personal barrel selection experience. And you get to grab a whiskey thief and fill your bottle directly from the barrel. We're doing something completely brand new that nobody else is doing here in bourbon country. Plus, you get a free sweet tasting glass at the end of it. I guarantee you, you're going to end up being one of the many people that's also leaving us a 5-star review. So make sure you come and check us out. You can book your reservation by going to pursuitspirits.com and clicking the Visit Us button. Welcome back, everybody. It's This Week in Bourbon. Take me out to the bourbon ball game or something like that. Buy me some more bourbon and peanut and Cracker Jacks. I don't know.
Are you on a baseball team today?
I was at my daughter's softball practice tonight. It was her first one for the fall league. And I'm kind of amped up, a little jacked about it a little bit, because I tried telling her as she was going into this, I said, well, hon, just know that you're one of the big kids now. Because she was kind of, you know, she got stuck in the outfield last year, so she didn't get a whole lot of action. She's pretty decent at hitting. And by the way, we're talking machine pitch. And now she goes to her first fall league or fall ball practice, and she shows up. And she's one of six kids who have actually played before. And she's one of the big kids. And now she started her first practice tonight, basically playing the pitcher right there on the top mound next to the machine pitch, which like gets the most action as possible. So I'm really jacked and psyched for her. So I just hope she kind of pulls through and you know, lives up to the expectation. I will say I'm proud of her though, because after practice was over, she goes, Dad, I think we need to go practice some more catching and throwing. I was like, sure, sounds good, hon.
She's gonna be a leader this year, you know, whip all those young kids into shape.
Yeah. I mean, I told her because there was a lot of kids on our team last year that all aged out. And I mean, some of those girls, they could hit, they could catch, they could throw. And I was like, it's on your shoulders now, so you've got to lead the team. So I tried to give her that pep talk beforehand. I don't think it really resonated until she was out there.
Until she saw the inferior talent beneath
yeah,
her.
Maybe.
Oh, I was on the
There was kids like throwing balls all over the place and just missing between their legs. It was like watching Little Giants, but for baseball.
Yeah, I watched Little Giants this weekend, and I was on the other end of the spectrum. My son just started flag football, and it's second and first graders, and he's a first grader, and all the second graders are like, you know, they're like looking at the first graders like, pipsqueaks, fresh meat. You know? Yeah. And so it's just funny when kids start playing we throw in football, this and that, but like, you know, blocking and pulling a flag and plays and stuff. It's like so much to throw at a first grader, you know, first practice, but they did good. He did good. And I'm excited for it. We watched Little Giants, you know, in preparation. It was hilarious. that movie's so good. Yep. Learning from Spike and Icebox. And
I was going to say Fridge, but yeah, you're right. It was Icebox. That's what it was.
Oh, that you couldn't make that movie today. There's so much. I probably can't even say some of the lines in there. But it's if you haven't watched Little Giants in a long time, you must do it. It's a treat.
It is solid. I'll have to go back to the library and go pull that one up this weekend.
I think I asked you to download it, but you're like a festival or something. So
maybe that's what it was. Yeah, you gotta catch me when I'm home at the computer, right time, right place, sort of thing.
I'm sure people are thrilled with hearing about our kids. So we'll move on to the bourbon news.
Let's go ahead. Let's do it, because you know we got a lot of people that listen to the show and from all walks of life, and I'm sure there's a lot of investment bankers out there. Maybe there's a lot of NFT bros. Maybe there's a lot of just people that are just trying to figure out how can they put their money in the right places. And we've talked about before that bourbon it's been a pretty solid investment over the past few years. Whether you were somebody that could go and just collect bottles and hold on to them, if you had the willpower not to crack them open and drink them, or if you had the hindsight, maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago to buy a lot of stuff and not touch it, or maybe you're in the new game and you're trying to just buy barrels and flip barrels. But now you could invest in a bottle of Pappy without actually owning the bottle. So this is in an article that came by Jonah Flicker on Rob Report, and he shared some information about a new company called Rally. Actually, it's not new, but they've been around for a little bit. But Rally is an online platform that allows people to invest in fractions of sports memorabilia, classic cars, and watches. And now it's entered the world of high-rolling collectible bourbon bottles. A rare Japanese whiskey and vintage single malts from the Macallan have also been traded on the platform before. So starting on August 16th, the company is selling 2,000 shares at $7 a piece for a 6-bottle collection of Pappy Van Winkle. It's a 23, 20, 15, 12, 10, and a 13-year rye. According to the Rally website, all assets are kept in a climate-controlled facility on the east coast of the U.S. The company will create the initial offering on the Rally app, which is kind of similar to an IPO, and it'll be priced at around $14,000. When it's fully bought out, Rally holds on the assets for 90 days, and then at which point the whiskey will be made available on the Rally secondary market. It's also possible that at some point that the whiskey will receive a full buyout offer, which will then be presented to the investors for approval. Of course, as with any investment, there's a chance that Pappy could actually decrease in value, which is probably pretty unlikely. But the return is dependent upon people actually wanting to purchase the whiskey via the Rally app. According to the Rally CEO, George Lehmer, the only feedback he's gotten so far from producers who want to get their bottles is actually on the platform. However, as far as whiskey enthusiasts reaching out supportively or in frustration, they actually haven't gotten much of that. And he said that this will probably not be the last whiskey that you see on Rally.
Huh. So, okay. It's a legal secondary market type of thing?
Well, it's a secondary market. I don't know if we call it legal. I assume they have to hold something because they've done other types of liquors before. They also hold wine auctions. This is just the first time that they're getting into. Like I said, they did Macallan and stuff like that before. So they have some sort of license that allows them to do this. But yeah, you're buying in at fractions and you basically wait it out until somebody buys it, and then you get a return on whatever that fraction is. Hmm. It's like a stock share is essentially all it really is.
It's like a mutual fund, you know,
or an ETF, or maybe somebody else can. It's like selling short.
Any shared investments.
this is investment advice brought to you by the Pursuit team over here. Do not take this with with the word of caution.
Yeah. Just don't listen. That's interesting. So it's just one vertical set. It's like, I mean,
One vertical set price at $14,000. So $7 shares at until it sells out.
Huh. That won't. Yeah. So there's not. I don't know. That this seems silly.
I mean, people are looking for ways to put their money in different places. And it seems like this app, it's not just for whiskey by any means. I mean, they just said they'd done sports memorabilia. So, you know, that trading cards is like that's blown up over the past probably 2 or 3 years. People are really getting to that. They've done watches and classic cars. I mean, gosh.
So 14,000 divided by seven. So you have 2,000 shares.
2,000 shares. Available. Exactly.
And, okay. I'm just trying to run. So what do you think realistically it would sell for secondary everything?
Well, I don't know. I didn't do the breakdown, but if you think about what a 23 goes for now, I think you're close to 4,000 or 5,000. Okay. I think the 20 is probably close to three and a half. Oh, you're really going to test me here?
I am.
Okay. We'll say 15's at 2,000, 12 and 10, or maybe 1,200 and 1,000 a piece. And then the 13 year rye, I think that's, I don't know, we'll say another 2,000, 2,500. I have no idea.
So I added all those up. That's only 12,200. You're losing money. Yeah, well,
this is a this is also it's not for charity, but it's also not the bourbon Facebook secondary market where people know the value of things. This is just probably people who have too much money to know what they do with.
Yeah,
they just throw it around.
That, I guess that's why I'm wondering if you're investing it that per share. How I'm trying to think, how can you go and make more money than that? I don't know.
Well, let's put it this way. For them to probably acquire it, they probably spent $10,000 to $12,000 to acquire it. They've right. got to make their money on actually, you know, getting people to buy the shares. So they're going to make some sort of residual from there. So they've got a little bit of cushion and they've got to sell it for a little bit more. So everybody else makes a return. Is that a pyramid scheme? Did we just call that one out?
As an investor, I'm like, okay, I'm looking at what these things sell for, and I'm like, I feel like there's a best case scenario, I'm getting my money back, but whatever. I don't know.
I mean, if you think about people that have more money than sense, well, what are they going to do? Well, I mean, what are they going to do? They're not going to know how to go to a secret Facebook or some kind of forum to go and buy something off some random person and hope sure. it shows up and just wire a bunch of money. No, they're going to go through some legit trading platform and they're going to pay the premium because they don't care. And we've talked about it before, is that a $5,000 bottle of Pappy Van Winkle, dude, we're not even touching to what we can do in the Scotch world and many other places. And so this is still this is an affordable game for people that are sitting on billions.
Sure. Yeah. I didn't mean to be a Debbie Downer. I think it's great.
You don't have to say it's great. You're poking holes in the theory. I think that's perfectly okay. We just have to understand that we are not the billions type.
Well, I'm just thinking from there, unless like...
We're not the millions type either.
Well, unless this is just like a proof of concept, I'm like, is the juice worth the squeeze? I mean, even if it sells for, you know, say $20,000, all the bottles, like, okay, you're spreading, you know, $6,000 among 2,000 shares. That's like
$3 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just, I guess that's, I'm trying to be like, okay, is it, whatever, it's cool.
I don't know. Then buy 500 shares, Ryan. I don't know what to tell you.
No, I don't want to buy 500. I'm like,
get more skin in the game.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
These
people hate me. So.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, let's get into some industry news for people that are actually out there that are in the industry and they might care about percentages and who's doing well. So Courvoisier owner Beam Suntory is celebrating double-digit net sales growth for the first half of 2022, and this is driven by demand for their premium brands. Beam Suntory's global net sales rose by 13% in the first half of 2022 compared to that with the same period in 2021. So compared with the pre-pandemic period back in 2019, this reflects a 25% leap in net sales. The Jim Beam owner's growth was attributed to double-digit sales gains in the number of key markets, including the US, Spain, the UK, India, Australia, and emerging Asia. Overall, value sales grew at twice the rate of volume sales as the company's focus on premiumization continued to gain even more traction. Regionally, sales were up around 13% in North America, 10% in Asia, and 20% in the company's quote-unquote international region. Looking at specific brands, Maker's Mark and Basil Hayden Bourbons, the House of Suntory, Roko's Gin, and Toki Japanese Whiskey all grew by strong double digits in the first half of 21. Super premium brands such as Yamazaki, Knob Creek, Lafroig, Bowmore, and El Tesoro Tequila all demonstrated meaningful momentum. So moving on up.
Yeah, that's exciting news. I mean, that's great. I mean, I was talking to somebody today and, you know, they were like, India is really starting to like seek out bourbon, and they're, you know, somebody in Barstown was like, if India opens up, it would wipe out every single barrel we have in inventory, because there's just so much Scotch drinkers there, you know, that is like, if they replaced, I think it was like half the Scotch drinkers in India, it would wipe out every single barrel in their inventory.
Is it Scotch they drink? They got a lot of different liquors out there. I know that, but I'm sure they do drink a bunch of Scotch.
Yeah, there's some brand called like Paul John or something that's like huge over there. It's a Scotch, Indian Scotch whiskey. Anyways.
Well,
I found that interesting.
We'll have to show them the way of the sweet corn and see if we can make a few sales going that way then. Maybe not. Yeah, we don't want to go too much, but, you know, just yeah. Enough.
F that malted barley. It sucks.
It's too much barley.
That's right.
And we're like 10% or less malted barley is where kind of where we're at.
Exactly. We like it for the enzymes. We don't want it to be the predominant flavor.
So after more than a decade spent launching and running Wiggle Whiskey and then its sister drinks company, Threadbare Cider and Mead, the Meyer family has entered into an agreement to sell the iconic Pittsburgh business to another local business owner, Bob Nutting. Mr. Nutting, who famously owns the Pittsburgh Pirates as well as the Ogden Newspapers Incorporated, will take over the Stripped District Distillery and the Northside Cidery and Winery under the business name of Pittsburgh Spirits. It's a sister company to his Highland Ventures. Co-founder and co-owner Meredith Meyer Grelli said that her family said that the growing company needed to grow even more, but that it would take a lot more resources, including financial, organizational, and human capital. And that's more than her family could provide. After more than a year of looking for companies that could take over, they were delighted to find a local buyer who they believe cares about Pittsburgh and its history. That includes the parts that interweave the Whiskey Rebellion, which Pittsburgher Philip Wiggle, helped start after the Revolutionary War, and Johnny Appleseed, which was the inspiration for Threadbare. Financial terms of the sale, however, were not disclosed.
Well, all right. I'm sorry. I'm still caught up on this India thing.
What do you got for me?
So the number one selling whiskey brand in India is called Imperial Blue. And it sold 24 million cases. That's insane.
That's impressive.
The second one is called Officer Choice, which sold 23.
10 million. Oh, 23. Oh, gosh.
And then there's Royal Stag that sold 22 million. Hayward's 12 million. These numbers are insane.
Well, that's a lot, because typically the way it works is you always have the market leader, and then the number two is usually half of number one. Number three is usually half of number two. And then,
yeah, the top three are like, so it's 24, 23, 22, and then it cuts in half to 12 from there. And then the rest are 12. There's two at 12 and 11, then it drops down to 4 million cases. It's like, good God, it's a lot of whiskey. Sorry, I didn't mean to detract from that. I just found that fascinating.
Well, maybe we can just sell, like, I don't know, 10,000 cases to India. Maybe just 10. We'll start there.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Whatever they want.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the Wiggle Whiskey thing. I know.
Yes, the Wiggle Whiskey. Yes.
The only reason I know about Wiggle Whiskey is because Jordan from Breaking Bourbon, he's from Pennsylvania. Oh, yeah,
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, exactly. So he sent me some of their whiskey a long time ago, and he was like, you got to try it. It's our local distillery. It's all right, but, you know, you got to try what's local. And it was a regular craft whiskey, but that's what I know about it. But it's cool to see them kind of going under the guise of a Major League Baseball owner as well. I kind of feel it's a Mark Cuban kind of thing going on here.
Yeah. Congratulations, Wiggle.
Yeah. Wiggle, Wiggle.
I know. So, I can't get past the name.
I mean, it's fun. It's fun. It'll get you going on a Friday night.
Is it the wobble wobble, shake it, or Not the wiggle wiggle.
It's not the wiggle wiggle. It's definitely a wobble wobble. Maybe a little bit of shake it, shake it. What God, was that? Was that like Big Timers or something? Who was that?
I don't know. They played on 4th Street Live sometime.
When was the last time you've been to 4th Street Live?
Oh, God. 15 years, probably.
That's probably the last time they played it then, too.
Exactly. You just throw on, like, sometimes I'll throw on, like, 2000s hip-hop, and, you know, it plays all those, like, Sully's hits.
That's what we need.
Nobody knows who Sully's is.
They have no idea. Yeah, just know they played some Lil Wayne and some Big Timers and some stuff like that.
Exactly. Sorry, I'm all over the place tonight. Well, keep me focused.
You want to jump into RTDs?
Ooh, now that'll get me focused.
Yeah, we'll talk about this one only because there was a report that came out by IWSR, which anyway, if anybody didn't know about IWSR, go check out a previous podcast we did with Brandy from IWSR. She's a wealth of knowledge, and they are the ones that basically just run like drinks and analytics reports across the entire industry. And so they put a lot of great information out there. And this is one, again, about hard seltzers and RTDs. So let's jump into it. Hard seltzers, they have made an important contribution to the rise of the RTD market and the category in the U.S., which has seen the RTD share of the U.S. total beverage alcohol market expand from just 4% in 2017 to around 11% in 2021. While hard seltzers make up over half of the volume of the RTD category, this is still the fastest growing RTD segment is going to be RTD cocktails. So the interest in RTD cocktails has prompted a shift from malt to now spirit-based RTD offerings. And this is because favorable tax rates mean that malt-based products in the category still account for the bulk of the volumes, but their fair share by the end of 2022 is expected to slip below 90%, while spirit-based products will climb from a roughly around 5 to 7%. In a fast-growing market, that represents a notable uplift, and in 2021, equated to around 14 million extra 9-liter cases, a figure that is expected to accelerate further by the end of 2022. Vodka overtook tequila as the leading RTD spirit base in 2021, and that's bolstered by the fact around that half of the most popular cocktails in the U.S. are actually vodka-based. In 2019, vodka had a share of just over a fifth of the spirit-based RTD segment, and by 2020, this had surged by more than a third, and this is projected to reach approximately 50% by the end of 2022. At IWSR, they are expecting the erosion of tequila's share of spirit-based RTDs to slow down. The increasing popularity of tequila in general is creating a halo effect for the RTD segment. Volume consumption of tequila grew 17% in the U.S. in 2021, and that's bolstered by increased celebrity investment. And consumers are now increasingly embracing the new tequila-based Ranch Water, Paloma, and various new canned margarita offerings that are entering the market. Vodka and tequila's dominance within the RTD category also rely on the fact that they are relatively more mixable than other spirit bases, such as whiskey, which makes up just around 5% of the spirit-based RTDs. With use in very specific cocktails, such as Old Fashioned and Manhattans, whiskey-based RTDs tend to over-index against all other RTD types in terms of pricing. However, consumer demand for more premium offerings will help, and whiskey share of the RTD spirit-based market is expected to increase.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by all that. Just as a consumer, I mean, High Noons, I love, you know, vodka-based.
you love your High Noons.
I mean, but I'm surprised those are, I guess because they're vodka-based, I am surprised those seltzers are considered RTDs. I thought they would be more, like, considered beer, you know, if they're malt-based. So
it,
like,
is malt-based.
White Claws. And I feel like if you're malt-based, you need to be in the beer category. And if you're spirit-based, you'd be kind of RTD. But I don't know.
But it feels weird. I mean, to sit there and say, like, oh, my White Claw compares to a beer, I don't really feel that that compares in an apples-to-apples comparison when you're looking at the ingredients, when you're looking at the
I'm looking
consumer.
At AB, but ABV, I feel like it's similar, like where
yeah, it's
some
true.
Of the...
It's like
the,
5% compared to like 12%.
Correct. So like, but then too, you have, I mean, High Noons are 5%. Canteens, which are vodka-based, are 5. I think they're... Or High Noons are 4.5, Canteens are 5. But I'm not surprised, but they were talking about the Palomas and canned margaritas. I have been a huge fan of these. There's a brand called Mamitas, which are like, they're basically High Noons, but made with tequila. And so they have like a Paloma, they have a margarita, they have a pineapple, and then Hornitos has ones too that, but because there's some canned margaritas that are like more stronger, they're like more in the 9 to 10%. But these are like kind of like just
it
like
has carbonation.
It's like a ranch water, you know, a Topo Chico tequila lime. You know, it's more like that. And then, yeah, you have Topo Chico's now, you know, making their own. I don't know where I was going with this, but
everybody's getting into it.
Well, whiskey RTDs are tough. A lot of them are so rich in sugars. They're so sweet. You know, a lot of extra calories and higher alcohol content. It's just hard to get a lot of them. I mean, you know, obviously we do business with Sagamore, but seriously, they're one of the only ones that make a really good whiskey RTD that I can like have multiples of. And even those are like 9%. So you got to tread lightly.
Well, tread lightly or maybe just go all in. Depends what you're trying to do that day. I mean, you're right. They do a great job. I want to give a shout out also to Jim Beam with their ginger highball. That was also a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
I wasn't a fan of the regular highball, which honestly just tasted like bourbon and soda water, which essentially
that's gross.
Is a highball. But I tried it and I was like, this is not that good. I'd rather just be mixing Sprite with my bourbon at this point, which, I mean, that's essentially what Jack Daniels came out with. They're like, hey, let's just go ahead and actually, they've been doing it forever because you go to Australia and they've been doing Jack and Coke or some sort of cola and Jack or whiskey mixture in cans for the longest time. And now they're starting to roll those out across the U.S., not just from Brown-Forman, but I think we're also going to see things from Wild Turkey and a few other people that are going to be entering the space because that is something that they already make as a product. So why not just sell it domestically?
Yeah, it's like whiskey or bourbon. It's like I feel like to get like scale in that canned beverage, I feel like they have to like somehow find it, make it lighter, more refreshing, more, because a lot of them you can like just have one or two at the most, you know, whereas High Noons, Mamitas, all these other ones, I mean, they're like drinking beers, you know, you can,
yeah,
I mean, I hate, we're probably supposed to promote responsibility, but you know, it's, you know, but if I'm on the lake all day and playing golf all day, you know, I can't, I'm sure, love so the Sagamore.
You don't golf.
I love the Sagamore Cobb Kales, but I can't have more than two or I'll be like, you know, sleeping in the cart.
Well, I'm not hitting the ball straight anyway, so it doesn't really matter if I have two or three.
Well, that's why they call it Amon juice.
I do think it would be a pretty cool either like an experiment or an observation or something like that if we were to go and just try to talk to Flavor Man or a canning company or something like that and figure out like what does it actually take to make a whiskey based RTD and how hard is it actually to do that, because to be able to create the flavors, to create something that is consumable, doesn't have a ton of sugar in it, yeah. and all those I think the sugar is probably like what kills you in a lot of different places. So how do you get maybe even natural flavors or natural juices that don't expire in a can? Like there's probably a lot of things that go into RTDs we don't think about of regards to shelf life, sure, and everything like right. that.
Yeah, there's got to be something where vodka and tequila is simpler to work with than whiskey.
I mean, it mixes that, well.
Never miss. Yeah.
Just had a little bit of triple sec, some sweet and sour, and you're off to the races.
Triple sec?
That's not how you say it?
No, not quite.
Triple sec, my friend. Sorry about that.
I hear. All right. We spent a lot of time on that one.
All right. No more triple sec. On to the Scottish government. So they are going to review whether the Angel's Share from Scotch whiskey, and by the way, we're switching a little bit to Scotch only because it doesn't really relate to bourbon, but it kind of has a very close connotation. So the Scottish government, they will review whether the Angel's Share from Scotch whiskey maturation has health and environmental impacts. As a part of the government's commitment to improving air quality, it will commission a review into the impacts of non-methane volatile organic compound emissions. This will include an assessment into the emissions that come from malt whiskey maturation. So every year, approximately 2% of whiskey evaporates from cask during maturation. This is known as the Angel's Share. Of course, we know in bourbon, that's usually a little bit higher than that. It's usually around like, what is it, like 10 to 12% the first year, and every after that is like 5%. Anyway, the Scottish government spokesperson said that improving air quality and the health of our people and the planet is an urgent priority for this government, and we're taking action across the board to deliver this. Last year, we published our updated air quality strategy, setting out how Scotland can achieve the best air quality in Europe. And to support that, we are commissioning a review of the available evidence of health and environmental impacts against the non-methane volatile organic compound emissions, including an assessment of emissions from malt whiskey maturation. So Scotland's whiskey industry is extremely valuable to the economy, and they recognize the sector's commitment to the good environmental practices. And according to the Scotch Whiskey Association trade body, there's around 22 million casks that are maturing in warehouses in Scotland, and there are currently 138 operating Scotch whiskey distilleries across the country. Bedonia.
So what, they worried about the fungus? I mean,
I guess
like the
dude, that's the whole thing right now. Why, if I think we talked about it a few weeks ago, why there is like Buffalo Trace is trying to move into a new county to build a bunch of warehouses, and the city is, or the county is fighting hard. Like they are fighting hard against Buffalo Trace because they do not want the fungus and the Bedonia to start growing on the sides of their warehouses. And so don't hold me to it, but I've read some things that Buffalo Trace is trying to do some, we'll call not so kosher things of like trying to like rezone areas to basically get around some of the issues that they're having.
Do they know there's an impact on the air quality from this, that fungus, or
that's what this is going to be, a assessment to go and check it out and see if there actually is an impact on it.
Gotcha.
So we have gone this far, my friend. We are now in 2022. I don't know how many years we've had Scotch whiskey. It's been a long time. We've had a long time since we've had bourbon. But now they're like, listen, we've got to figure out if this shit's killing our lungs or not.
It's just like this cow thing. Everybody's like, oh, cows and their farts and belches are, you know, ruining the planet, and we got to get rid of all of them and make impossible meat from Bill Gates, you know, in a lab. And I'm like, if you're that worried about air quality, and quit, just put nuclear plants everywhere to produce energy. Like, let's be real. I don't know. This is, I don't know. It's a waste of tax dollars, I think, but whatever.
You went to the left field there, didn't you, my friend?
I didn't go left field. It's all
like, you're like, all right, fine, let's go eat impossible meat and start building nuclear power plants.
I don't know. I guess you're not in the environmental talks of like air quality and this and that. And they're like,
I know you're involved with it because of your profession, because you have to have chemicals that essentially create hazardous. So you're aware of all this sort of stuff.
I know. Everybody thinks like Mother Nature is trying to take us down at all times. So we have to do whatever we can to combat it. And it's not the perfect system, but regardless, Scotch whiskey is not killing our ozone layer. So it's a waste of tax dollars. Do something better and build some nuclear plants in Scotland.
All right. And there you heard it.
You heard it first.
From the people's champ, from his mouth.
Everybody's going to, I'm going to get emails from everyone. Tell me how dumb I am. So
it's all right. Just make sure you send it to Ryan@bourbonpursuit.com. Not to me. This one goes to Ryan.
Turn on my spam filter heavy.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into our last news story here. And that's that the Kentucky Bourbon Hall of Fame, they will induct 6 new individuals into its elite ranks next month. So if you didn't know, the Kentucky Bourbon Hall of Fame recognizes individuals and organizations that have made a significant and transformational impact on the bourbon's stature, growth, and awareness. It is the highest honor given by the signature industry. And here are this year's inductees. First is retiring Representative Chad McCoy from Bardstown. He's the Majority Whip, Kentucky House Representatives, and the 2-time recipient of the KDA's 100 Proof Award for public service and champion of several landmark pieces of legislation. There's also the late Stephen Francis Thompson. He was the founder and president of Kentucky Artisan Distillery, and he will also be receiving the Parker Beam Lifetime Achievement Award. He was also the former president of Brown-Forman Distilleries and a pioneering resource for craft distilleries across the country. He died unexpectedly in 2021 after an accident. He was 79 years old. Julian Van Winkle III, president of Old Rip Van Winkle Distillery and heralded grandson of bourbon legend Julian Pappy Van Winkle, the creator of the ultra-aged premium Pappy Van Winkle brand and the very first James Beard Award winner from Kentucky, as well as numerous other accolades. Andrea Marie Wilson, distinguished industry veteran, executive vice president, general manager, and master of maturation at Michter's Distillery, and in 2009, the first woman to chair the KDA Board of Directors. She's also been on the podcast quite a few times, so go and check that out. Retiring U.S. Representative John Yarmuth, Democrat from Louisville, and co-founder of the Congressional Bourbon Caucus and chair of the House Budget Committee, who helped lead a permanent reduction on the federal excise tax on distillers, among key measures. And lastly, Kaveh Zamanian, who you've heard on the podcast a few times already. He was just on a few weeks ago. He's the founder, whiskey maker, and CEO of Rabbit Hole Distillery. He left Iran back in 1979 during the revolution and founded Rabbit Hole in 2012. He blends the immigrant whiskey maker tradition with time-honored methods, diverse perspective, and modernist aesthetics. So this invitation-only ceremony will be held on September 13th at my old Kentucky home state park in Bardstown, Kentucky, which is one of the state's most revered historic sites. Sorry about that. It is held annually in conjunction with the Kentucky Bourbon Festival, which now will be running on September 16th through the 18th in Bardstown, where you can actually go and check out. Ryan and I will be there at a booth, and you can come get pours from us. The selection committee included all living recipients of the Parker Beam Lifetime Achievement Award, which is Jimmy Russell, Master Distiller of Wild Turkey, Bill Samuels Jr., who from Maker's Mark, Max Shapiro of Heaven Hill, and Evan Colesveen from Willett Distillery. Also serving were Kevin Smith. He's the chairman of the KDA Board of Directors and vice president of the Kentucky Bourbon Affairs for being some Tory. Was Chris Morris, who's the governor of the Order of the Writ, Spirit of Kentucky. There's too many people. Lastly was Dixie Hibbs. So there we go. Who was also appointed by the
mayor of Bardstown.
There we go. So there's a lot of people.
She used to be the mayor.
I mean, there's a lot of people in there, and I was like, okay, you heard the top six names, which were important of people that are going to the Hall of Fame. So congratulations to all of them.
Yeah, all worthy candidates. I mean, not that he doesn't deserve it. Kaveh definitely does. He's got to be one of the younger, I mean, not younger because Chad's pretty young, but I guess newer to the bourbon game to be, you know, not that many years in the industry to be inducted. So that's an awesome award for Kaveh and all those, you know, that are getting inducted.
10 years getting into the industry. Well, actually, he was probably doing it before. He just founded Rabbit Hole in 2012. He was probably doing a lot of other sourcing. And other
gosh, I guess then. I guess it has been 10 years. That's crazy. 10 years.
You just got to think that when we started, we were talking to him 5 years ago, and we don't even think that felt like 5 years ago.
I know. All right. Never mind. Everybody's. No, it's good. It's a good inductee list for real.
Well, I think we should probably also put it out there that Ryan will also be.
I will be there.
Yes. He will be there. He'll actually will be accepting an award at the Hall of Fame dinner.
I think Chad will not be there, so he's asked a group of us to accept it in his honor, and I will be there. It's going to be exciting. I've never been to one of these. I know you have before.
Yeah, it was a few years ago. Fred and I actually went there, and we just streamed it live, and we had a microphone, and it was kind of like a red carpet ceremony, and we interviewed people as they were kind of coming in, you know, holding the camera and saying like, oh, here we go. And here's Freddie Johnson coming in. Freddie, you know, Fred would say something stupid like, you know, what are you wearing? Like my polo that I just came from the distillery with. But you know, it was something fun that we did a few years ago.
Are you wearing Gucci or Armani? Is it Chanel?
No, it's
club room.
Yeah. I was going to say jerseys, something like that.
Azad.
Yeah, we can't even get Lacoste around here, man. We're
we're peasants.
Yep. All right, but congratulations to all them that are going to be entering the Kentucky Bourbon Hall of Fame. But let's go ahead, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with some bourbon release news.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point-of-sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. And with Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. And you can get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bourbon, all lowercase, and go to shopify.com/bourbon to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/bourbon. If you're anything like me, then you can't get enough about bourbon. And that's why I'm a subscriber to Bourbon Plus magazine. Bourbon Plus is a quarterly publication that tells the stories from the heart of bourbon. The farmers who grow the grain, the distillers who labor over the process, and the people, like you and me, who raise their glasses to celebrate it all. Subscribe to Bourbon Plus magazine today at bourbonplus.com, that's P-L-U-S.com, and use code PURSUIT at checkout for $5 off your subscription. Hey everybody, bourbon release news. We've got a few ones, but we got some heavy, heavy hitters when it does come to these. And we'll spoil it for you a little bit because Ryan and I we got to taste one of these already, and it was pretty damn good. So let's kind of get into it. So talked about it at the top of the show, but King of Kentucky, you know it. It's the super premium straight bourbon, and it's returning this year in its fifth edition, and it's hitting shelves in August. But this time it's going to have two limited edition expressions that will be available to mark the fifth anniversary. So the first expression is a 15-year-old Kentucky straight bourbon, and approximately 3,500 bottles will be produced with a suggested retail price around $250. While a majority of this year's volume will remain in Kentucky, the expression will also be available in limited quantities in Illinois and Ohio. The second expression is a very limited, ultra rare, super, super limited, I'll just go ahead and say that because we got a chance to try it, is the 18-year-old Kentucky straight bourbon, and only 250 bottles of this will be produced that has a suggested retail price of $350, and this will only be exclusive to the Kentucky market. A little bit of background, King of Kentucky was established in 1881 as a Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey, and Brown-Forman acquired the brand in 1936 from selected Kentucky distillers, and by 1940 converted it to a blended whiskey until it was discontinued in 1968. In 2018, they revived the label by paying homage to the brand's past, and due to the rarity of these barrels, there is no defined annual volume. Just like the extra time it takes for the liquid to mature, King of Kentucky's package shows a personal craftsmanship. Every bottle comes enclosed in a decorative tin canister and tells the story of the origin through the details on the front and the back of its package. All are filled, bottled, wax dipped, and numbered by hand with details including proof, age, warehouse location, lot number, seal number, and barrel number, and they were all selected by master distiller Chris Morris.
Yeah, this was a special treat. I mean, the nose on this 18-year, I mean, good God. I mean, it was, everything about this pour was special. Most people won't get to try it with that, you know, that few of bottles. It is a fascinating story.
Only, I remember we were there, Chris Morris was saying that you have to understand that they heat cycle all their warehouses, so he likes to go ahead and kind of put like it's their kind of like hyper aging process. So it's kind of a quill. And he said to an extra year and a half, or sorry, a half year that you get through there. So he said it's about a 27 year is what it would be compared to. And when they went to go dump these barrels, there is usually, I think, what do you say, less than six cases,
like 10% yield on each barrel,
something like that. Ridiculously low.
Yeah. And I think I found it fascinating too. It was, The mash bill on that was like not the typical Old Forester Woodford. It was
early times.
Which I love early times. It was, I still miss it. And well, I guess this hasn't gone anywhere, but I miss it when it was a Brown-Forman brand. But anyways, this is an absolutely stellar whiskey. One of the better ones we've had in quite some time. And if you have a chance to buy it, if you can get it for less than, I don't know, I know this is hard to say, but $1,000, it's probably, it's worth it.
I don't usually call in a lot of favors. This one, I might call in a favor for. But there is we actually haven't a chance to review the 15-year yet. And from what we've heard from other whiskey reviewers that got it, they said that that was probably one of the best King of Kentuckys that they've tried. Oh, really? Well. But here's the thing is that it doesn't matter which one you get because they're all single barrel releases. They don't blend them and dump them, or they don't, should I say, dump and blend them together. They're all single barrels. So you might get barrel 32. Somebody else get barrel 64. Somebody else gets barrel 9. So that's the unfortunate thing with it. But either way, I have never had a bad King of Kentucky ever from any release.
No,
so
Same here.
Just go ahead and pony up. So we couldn't go another week without talking about Ross and Squibb. It just wouldn't be right.
Oh, boy.
So they have announced their Remus Repeal Reserve Series 6 straight bourbon whiskey that will be launching this September. So this limited edition bourbon is the sixth annual offering from the distillery's award-winning Remus Repeal Reserve Bourbon Collection. It's created by master distiller Ian Sturzman and his team of master distillers and master blenders. So Series 6 comprises of five bourbons aged between 8 to 14 years from its 175-year-old Lawrenceburg, Indiana distillery. I wonder where that's from. So it's made in a signature high-rise style, and the medley changes each year, allowing Sturzman and his team to experiment with various mash bills and aged reserves. So Remus Repeal Reserve Series 6 is comprised of the following. So hold with me here. 2% of 2008 bourbon, which is a 21% rye, 17% of a 2012 bourbon, 36% rye, 27% another 2012, the 21%, 29% from 2014 of the 21%, 25% from 2014 of the 36%. And this is bottled 100 proof and will have a suggested retail price of $100.
Does that math add up to 100? I don't know. There's a lot of percentage.
too many 21s, 36s, 17s, 29s. I just read it from the press release. Don't hold me to it.
It's probably a tote, like one of their clients rejected. They're like, I doubt it. No, I doubt it. I'm kidding.
This has always been a fascinating release that I've had from them because they're
so good. Usually.
They're so good. And they list all the percentages on it, which is great, even though we just came out with an episode this past week on Behind the Pursuit saying, it doesn't matter. The general public doesn't care. But us whiskey geeks, we care.
Yeah, which this is probably definitely a whiskey geek, you know, brand or offering, I guess. And it's always fantastic. I mean, it's that MGP juice, when it hits double digits, it's magical. I mean, it's really good. 5 to 7 years, it's pretty good too. But when it gets double digits, it's fantastic.
For sure. Totally.
That I should say Squibb juice. Sorry.
Juice. I wonder if that's going to stick. I mean, Ross and Squibb, but Squibb juice.
I know. And I want it to stick, and I consciously try to say Squibb, but I subconsciously go say an MGP. So I got to keep doing the Squibb juice.
All right. It's repetition. We'll get there.
Yeah. They need a t-shirt,
squibjuice.com.
Oh, God.
I wonder if somebody's going to buy that domain now. All right, let's go ahead. Let's hit our final news article of the week. And this is talking about probably one of the most highly anticipated releases every single year because it comes in that crazy little squat bottle that just never seems to fit well on the shelf. And this is, going to be from Old Forester. And this is going to be celebrating George Garvin Brown as he was his first to seal his whiskey in a glass bottle back in 1870. And to commemorate his birthday, the first bottled bourbon will be annually released in a limited edition vintage dated expression, which is always called the birthday bourbon. So it's hand selected by master distiller Chris Morris. Oh, Chris is in the news twice this week. So this small batch bourbon offers a unique character of flavor profile that will never be replicated, is what they say. The September 2nd release marks the 22nd limited edition expression, but this year's celebration will look different than years past. So for the first time ever, Old Forester Birthday Bourbon will be available through purchase through a sweepstakes running through August 24th through August 31st. And this gives people nationwide the opportunity to win the right to purchase the most coveted expression of Old Forester. Because of the new policy, no birthday bourbon bottles will be sold at the distillery on September 2nd. Prize winners will be notified via email on September 2nd and has a suggested retail price of $150.
So wait, all the bottles will go through the sweepstakes, or is that just what Old Forester has allocated for them?
I doubt they said, let's go ahead and hold back everything and screw all of our retailers that sell all Old Forester products across the country. They're probably not doing that. It's probably what they hold back for Old Forester. And
gotcha.
I'm not going to say I called it, but I called it. So I would say probably, it had been a year plus two ago on a roundtable, we started talking about the laws and it changing and directed consumer shipping. And I said, why would a distillery ever sit there and try and deal with people camping out in lines and flippers and all this sort of stuff and the all the shit that goes behind the closed doors at distributors and retailers and all that shady stuff when they can just own the product and sell it themselves. And here we go. Now, I will say I'm a little butthurt, and I'm sure everybody in Kentucky is going to be a little bit butthurt, because your odds of getting a bottle from Old Forester went from not so good to non-existent. So, I mean, for you to be able to get one at the distillery, you had a chance, but now going to a national lottery, it's toast.
Yeah, but I feel like they don't release it all, and they kind of like sprinkle them out throughout the year too. Because I've heard of people just like showing up to the Old Forester gift shop and they're like, oh, birthday bourbon, we put it out, you know, like several cases. Maybe I'm mistaken, but, and maybe they won't do it this time, but I feel like they've done that sprinkled stum throughout the year as well.
I mean, why not? It's their product. It's what they can do with it. I think that's probably well worth rewarding people that are traveling in and doing stuff like that. I think that's okay to do.
So wait a minute. What if you're in a no ship state? Do you just have to, you have to come in person?
Oh, I'm sure all this, this is, I doubt.
Or do you have to pick it up at the distillery?
Exactly. I doubt they're going to sit there and start. I mean, have you held a bottle of birthday bourbon in your hands? You know how hard that is to pack and ship one of those damn things? That's not an easy task to do.
I've never owned one. Actually, no. I did own one, and I auctioned it off in one of our charities.
See? Well, and I was probably somebody that had to pack it up and ship it out. And that is
actually somebody locally won it. I remember I had to deliver it now. So it's all coming back to me.
You,
but it was a pain in the ass taking it in my truck.
There you go. Just holding it, it's just awkward. No, it's one of those things that I couldn't imagine that they would sit there and say, oh, yeah, let's go ahead and ship out 1,000 bottles. No, if you win, they will probably give you some sort of, and actually, this is probably what's going to happen. They'll probably time bomb it. And if you win, you have what, 3 months? To get to Old Forester to come and pick it up. And if you don't, then what? Well, now they're probably going to start sprinkling out and just putting it out there on the shelves randomly. So, hey, maybe it will work out for us locals and we'll just happen to be there one day.
So they didn't say like the year or anything?
You know, as soon as you...
Because usually they do that.
Exactly. So I responded back to the person who sent the press release. And I said, are there any other details you can share about this? I was like, we're going to record tonight and it's going to be out Friday. And usually you tell us how many barrels it was, where in the rick house. Well, we had six that came up completely empty, you know, like whatever story that they have along with it. But no, there was nothing about it. I think the news this year is that whether you're in Spokane, Kansas, or whether you're in Tallahassee, Florida, or maybe you're in Germany, you have a chance to be able to get a bottle.
Huh. Well, all right. The NAS Old Faux birthday bourbon
here. Well, they did send some pictures, and now that I'm thinking about it, I only looked at the video, which was, of course, a birthday bourbon bottle falling on top of a cake, and it had a 10 on it. So it might only be a 10-year-old, which is still,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, it was like nothing to shy away from.
Nope. I mean, as long as it tastes good, I don't care how old it is.
Oh, I remember when this used to be $70, my first birthday bourbons I was picking up. So now we're a little bit more than double that. How about it?
Yeah. $150 is still not bad. I mean, I guess. I don't know.
It's a limited edition offering in a funky bottle coming from a big name distillery at 10 years old.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That is the market, and I'm sure it's people will pay for it all day, and it'll be $600 on the secondary market the next day. So,
yep,
that's how it is. But that'll do it for this week in bourbon. We had a lot of good topics tonight, and like I said, just a little bit of squib talk, but that's okay. Squibjuice.com, but maybe we'll be able to have some more next time.
More squib juice next week.
Yes,
tune in.
But with that, cheers, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Toodles.